And this hour, we're going to be joined by Marco Rubio, fresh off a visit to Mar-a-Lago, along with Governor Kristi Noem, the 33rd governor of South Dakota, author of a brand new book out tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
Yep. No Going Back, the truth on what's wrong with politics and how we move forward and how we move America forward. And Governor, you know that you're a prime target on the left. Here's a little of some of the questions. You want to put your headset on?
I got them on.
Oh, you got them on? Oh, nice. Yep. You want the clip-ons like
Perfect.
Me.
I do.
There's some of your questions yesterday on Face the Nation.
Sure.
You talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor, after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world as soon as it was brought to my attention.
Right, but so you never went to
North
Korea.
I make no specifics in this book. I talk about the fact that, yes, I have.
I know you read this book before it was published because you released video of your recording of the audiobook. You didn't catch these errors when you were recording it?
Oh, Margaret, as soon as it was brought to my attention, I took action.
But I'm asking you about your book here, which we have.
I'm just asking for why am I being treated differently than every other person that you've interviewed?
Of the interview.
Right.
So, great to see you, Governor.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Are you surprised at how she went after you, or do you kind of glad to get this out?
Well, Margaret treated me very different than she does anybody else that she interviews. In that interview, she interrupted me 36 times in that interview, and I brought that to her attention, that I had watched dozens of her interviews before. She didn't treat anybody else that way. It was definitely an attack, and that's fine. I'm used to that. If you guys remember, I've kind of been through the fire before. During COVID, nobody had my back when I made the decisions I made in South Dakota, keeping my state open, not mandating anything, not mandating masks or vaccines. So I'm used to the attacks. I gave her my answer. She didn't like my answer. So she kept trying to bully me into saying something different. But the truth is the truth.
So you were at Mar-a-Lago of the weekend. I want to get to that. But just on your book, the two things everybody's talking about, they're not the excerpt you released. It's what people have discovered.
Right.
So you grew up on a ranch in a rural setting. Not many people like me did, suburban area.
Right.
So you were trying to describe the difference in lifestyle.
Yep.
And one thing you talk about is your 14-month-old dog you put down. You shot your dog.
It was an adult working dog that was killing livestock and attacking people. And it was 20 years ago. And the reason it's in the book, Brian, is because people, I think, are frustrated with politicians. Politicians who try to hide the truth and run away from hard decisions. And that's the reason for telling that story, is my political opponents in South Dakota have tried to use this story against me in my last two elections. I mean, that's well known in South Dakota.
So that's why you put in the book, because it's come up.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's come up. Democrats have tried to use it to make me look like I'm somebody who doesn't.
Like the Mitt Romney story.
Absolutely. And I wanted the truth out. I wanted the truth in the book, that the fact that this was a dog that was attacking people. I was a dog trainer. I was the second home for this dog. It had not worked out where it had been before because it was too aggressive. They gave it to me because I raised dogs. I trained them. I knew how to work with them. We had trained that dog for months, and it still was attacking people and killing livestock. And I also want people to understand that this story's in the book because it's painful. It's hard.
Right.
But I don't run away from my responsibilities.
But do you wish you just gave it to a shelter? Like, when some people just can't afford
it. I don't know if a shelter that would have taken 20 years ago to have taken a dog where you say, this dog is killing livestock and all other animals and will attack people. That shelter, you know, at that time, who knows that answer? And 50 states have laws that say this is a proper way to handle an animal like this.
Right.
And the American Veterinarian Association says this is a humane way to handle a dog with this situation.
Governor, you're going to adjust something after the first printing, right?
Well, I'm going to adjust. There's some content in some world leader meetings.
Kim Jong-un.
That I've asked to have taken out. I've had meetings all over the world with many world leaders, and I've asked the publisher to remove that name, and they've agreed to do that in future printings. And in fact, I think we're soon going to the second printing already. The book is selling very, very well.
Right. When you did the book on tape, did you catch it?
Uh-huh. When I did the book on tape, what I needed to do is ask them to take it out, take that name out. And they have done that.
Okay.
So
you picked it up when you did the book on tape?
Yeah. When it was brought to my attention after that was done.
Okay.
Yep.
And so you were in North Korea.
I have been to North Korea, been to the DMZ, and we were in the facility that crosses into North Korea. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that
there's
was just...
There's I will not talk about the meetings that I have with world leaders. Right. I will not. And I know a lot of people are trying to get me to do that. And this name should not have been in that content. And that anecdote shouldn't have been in there. And I've asked them to take it out.
So when you put this book together, what do you want people to take from it?
I want the American citizen to know that they're still the number one way to change politics is them showing up. This is like a how-to guide for the American citizen on how to take their government back.
Because you never thought you were going to get into politics, right?
No. You know, I'm a farmer and a rancher and spent my life in business. I ran for Congress because people asked me to. But I don't think the average person knows that them showing up at a meeting, them making a phone call, them doing an email and not quitting really does move the needle. It does make a difference. I talk about the corruption in politics in this book, about how money is a huge factor, how consultants are in this to get rich, and how people can really have an impact in a way that goes around all that corruption, and why Donald Trump broke politics. I mean, he did. And you listen to people say they want to go back to the good old days of doing politics the way before it was when Donald Trump showed up on the scene. And I think that's just wrong. I'm glad he broke politics. Politicians don't have to be perfect anymore. They don't have to stand up and pretend to be something that they're not. He has changed the game in that he's real. He's who he is. And that is something that has freed up a lot of us to be who we are. Never say that we're perfect and we don't make mistakes and don't make hard decisions, but that we need leaders who know how to make decisions and are willing to do the hard things because this country needs it.
You went to Mar-a-Lago over the weekend.
I did.
But you didn't stay at night.
I didn't stay for the evening. No, I have a brand new granddaughter that was just born. So I have, this is my third. So I went home to South Dakota to squeeze her a little bit.
And then did Face the Nation right after.
Yeah. Yes, I did that from Watertown, South Dakota.
So there was nothing, there's no reason, that's the only reason you didn't go at night.
Well, I was there for the lunch. I was there that morning, did a panel with Governor Doug Burgum. We talked about our states and energy policy. We talked about COVID policy and Title IX and all the other challenges we're facing. A little bit of these college protests. So we had great discussion with all of those donors. I was a part of the afternoon and all that, but then I decided to fly home to see my granddaughter.
So I thought this would be interesting. Among the people with these protests that thinks this is a huge deal is Bernie Sanders. Here's what Bernie Sanders said about what the way the president's handling these protests, how it could affect him. Cut 34.
Well, I am thinking back, and other people are making this reference, that this may be Biden's Vietnam. I worry very much that President Biden is putting himself in a position where he has alienated not just young people, but a lot of the Democratic base in terms of his views on Israel and this war.
Because he's splitting the difference. He's saying, I'm against all hate, but I understand what the Palestinian people want. But at the same time, you got to be orderly, but you should demonstrate, but just don't wreck anything. And you know exactly where Republicans stand. Yeah. Speaker showed up. He said, you better just break this up and rip it down. And the president said, don't call the National Guard, but if you want to call the cops, call the cops. So he's alienating everyone.
Yeah, by walking a line, trying to be political instead of really dealing with the crisis situation we have in our hands. I was looking at some of these college campus protests, and now they're canceling their graduation ceremonies.
Just moments ago, Columbia canceled theirs.
I saw that, and I'm thinking about those poor students who spent all that money to go to college that can't even be safe at their own graduation. These are probably the same kids that didn't get their high school graduations because of COVID. So they've been cheated out of everything because we have a president that's too weak to stand up and defend our allies. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think that what is interesting to me about all of this is that they're so wishy-washy and they're doing it based on polling they think they need to have in Michigan and Wisconsin. They're looking at the population of those swing states that they want to win, and they think that there's such a Muslim population in Michigan, in Wisconsin, that Biden knows he has to win those two states and he doesn't want to alienate that demographic.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I'm sure you've read the news that he has cut off new ammo shipments over to Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel says, we'll stand alone if we have to. Mm-hmm. And then Hamas, of all people, walk away from the negotiations.
Yes. Yeah.
And now a corridor is being opened up to allow Palestinians to get out. You're on armed services, right?
I was.
So you know,
absolutely,
this is going to be very difficult. Mm-hmm. But the Prime Minister Netanyahu says, there's no way we're not going in. That operation's happening now. How does this play out?
I admire him because he is a man who is showing compassion to those innocent civilians caught in the crossfire, but he is going to make sure that there are consequences for what Hamas has done. Hamas is an organization that needs to be exterminated. And what I believe that Netanyahu is doing is keeping his word. And that's the one thing that we need politicians to do. We have the White House just admitted the other day that President Biden has lied 148 times just this year and has never gone back and said, you know what? I misspoke. I said I was wrong. I guess I wasn't in prison with Nelson Mandela. I guess I didn't start the civil rights movement. I guess I never drove an 18-wheeler, and my uncle was never eaten by cannibals. You know, all those things are lies that this president says. Netanyahu is not that kind of a leader. Completely different, and right. I'm glad that he's fighting for his people.
You mean he didn't grow up in a Puerto Rican church and a black church?
I don't think so.
Right? And did he had a bunch of saves? Yeah. I'm surprised Howard Stern didn't get the truth out of him. It really astounds me. I want to talk more to Governor Kristi Noem. Her book is out today. It's called No Going Back.
Tomorrow. Yep.
But you can download it today,
I think you maybe
could place the order. Yeah. The truth on, it won't come up until tomorrow. The truth on what's wrong with politics and how we move America forward. Don't move.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Governor, the president just came out and pointed out that Politico has revealed, the act surprise, we've said this, that most of the Biden donors are behind those giving to the protesters, which explains why the president's trying to straddle the line. That's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. It's a complete political attack against the president, and it's distracting everybody from what's going on down at the border, too. Every time we talk about these protests and what's happening on college campuses, we're ignoring the thousands of people that are entering this country that are dangerous, that are infiltrating our country. And one thing, Brian, that you know, we talk about that. When's the last time you saw somebody covering what's going on down at the border and how many people are coming in illegally? I have the cartels.
We do regularly.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, that's the thing is, you know, there's only so much media airtime, and these protests are constantly putting out misinformation.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Governor, for Republicans, they should not be that upset because this is just as bad for Democrats as the border.
Yeah.
And the numbers where Donald Trump is now leading with young people, he's up 7 where he lost by 25, which makes me wonder how the national polls could be so close if he's made so many gains with the Hispanics and the black community and with young people. I guess he still has suburban women to get back.
Yeah, he will. And he'll get them back. When he gets done being tied up in this court case, he's going to be able to talk about gas prices, grocery prices.
Right.
You know, when you're out there traveling across the country, which I've been in these swing states now for the last several weeks, they're all talking about how much their life has declined.
What have you done for the colleges in South Dakota?
I had a phone call with my board of regents and all of my presidents over a week ago now, and told them that this was not going to happen in South Dakota. I wanted to hear their emergency operations plan. I wanted to let them know that I had the National Guard ready. I had my State Highway Patrol ready, that I had my Fusion Center and investigators that would help them monitor social media and be tracking if there was going to be any kind of a protest planned and what kind of violence would be there. So this is what we did in 2020 when the George Floyd protests were going all over the country, and why we were prepared and said we wouldn't stand for it. And I think that kind of communication with these presidents of these colleges and universities from their leaders is that we will not tolerate this.
Well, how do you handle the freedom of speech aspect? Hey, I want to protest.
I'm absolutely allowed
to do it.
But you throw one thing, you throw a water bottle, we are shutting this thing down.
Anti-Semitism?
Yeah, we are shutting this down. You do not get to conduct violence or threats or attack people. That will not take place. And we are going to have peaceful educational universities in our state and allow them. Every student should feel safe when they're on campus, and they do in South Dakota.
Governor, you had a skirmish with the former governor of South Carolina, as well as the UN ambassador, was a leading contender for, was number two to President Trump. What was that skirmish? Where did it manifest?
You know, I think the first conversations we started to have were in 2020, and she had reached out to me, and we talked again in 2021. Said that she wanted to mentor me, realized I was a new governor, that she had a lot of experience being governor, and that she heard good things, she would tell me, but if she heard bad things, she would make sure that I knew, and said, let me be clear that if I hear bad things about you, I will make sure that you know.
And she was an ambassador at the time?
Yeah, I think she was maybe in that position. But I remember thinking when I hung up the phone that was a very strange conversation, very aggressive, and I never heard from her again. There was never any outreach, friendly phone calls, no conversations. We crossed each other's paths many times. There was no mentoring. It was very much taken to
me.
What
do you think was behind it?
I think behind it is that Nikki is competitive and that she was sending me the message very clearly that there was only room for one Republican woman in politics and that I should remember my place. And I put it in my book because I don't believe in that. I talk about a wolf pack in the fact that I believe that you should have each other's backs, that women should support each other, that you should be willing to be out there and actually mentor people, walk alongside them, and to be their friend, be somebody that you can support. Many times in most of my life, I've lived in a man's world, and that's fine. I'm not a feminist, but I do believe that for women, it is important that other women support them.
And do you think that they have a discrepancy with what year this took place?
Yeah, and that's what I think is interesting. But, you know, Nikki says whatever works for Nikki. That's the deal. Nikki said she wasn't going to run against President Trump, and then she ran against him. So Nikki will say whatever works that day, and the fact that she's criticized my book is exactly what I expected from her.
When you look at the Ted Cruz, the Marco Rubio, these were brawls. Chris Christie is a brawl. They were going to be alienated forever.
Yeah.
They were brawls. It was really tough for a while with Ron DeSantis. They got together.
Yeah.
How does the president need Nikki Haley, and does Nikki Haley need the former president to get on the same page?
Every opportunity that Nikki's had in the last many years has been because of Donald Trump. I mean, I think that she could do well to reach out to him.
Well, she did become governor before then.
Yes, but then to become ambassador and get the opportunities that she had and her talking points and what she did was under his administration and his direction. I think it'd be good if she wanted to reach out to him. I don't think he needs her.
Do you think he needs Nikki Haley's voters?
I think he'll get Nikki Haley's voters regardless. I think that most of the people I've talked to that were supporting her are supporting the president, and they don't understand why she hasn't endorsed him. If she's not endorsing President Trump right now, then she's endorsing Joe Biden. And for her people right now, they don't understand that. They are confused by that. Why does she think Joe Biden would make a better president than Donald Trump? And that's what she's saying by sitting on the sidelines right now.
Do you think that you're still strong in the short list on VP?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. All that speculation. What I would say is I want him to win. And I don't care. I want him to pick whoever helps him win. And he knows that. I've told him that many times. That for me, when he's in the White House, I get to be on offense.
Pick up her book, No Going Back, out tomorrow. Governor Kristi Noem, thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.